My Own Radio Network, the world's conscious broadcasting network. Live on iTunes and archived on iHeartRadio. The voice of consciousness. And now, join Shea Parker's Best of the Best, offering celebrity guests, lively discussions, hot topics, free psychic readings, and expert guest hosts. Simply the best in spiritual and metaphysical talk radio. Listen live on your phone or device using our universal mobile player. No app needed. Shea Parker's Best of the Best. Find out more at bestamericanpsychics.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Shea Parker's Best of the Best. This is the Reluctant Medium Show. I'm Billy, and you can get my information if you want to book a reading with me. You can find me on Best American Psychics website. My website is bestorlandopsychic.com. And or you can find me at Best Psychic Directory. So I want to welcome you to the show, and I have a wonderful guest here tonight, Belinda Phillips. She is a heart and soul healer, an energy worker, a wellness coach, and a lifelong student of mind, body, heart, and soul. So, and I can personally vouch for Belinda's wonderful gift for clearing out negative energy or getting rid of a lot of, freeing your space up, getting you unstuck. She's really wonderful about really getting in there and healing those old things that we carry around with us. And even sometimes I thought I had a lot of this stuff taken care of, but I found out that it was still lingering. So so before I introduce Belinda to you, I just want to give you a little bit of background for her. Belinda was an attorney. She's a single mom of a special needs child, and I wanted to welcome Belinda. Welcome to the show, and if you can just tell us a little bit about how this led you to, you know, become this energy worker and healer.
Well, first of all, Billy, thank you for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to be on here with you, and you know how much I love you and your son.
Sure.
I appreciate it. So my background is unusual for someone who does this kind of work. I was a tax lawyer in a large law firm in Detroit. And while I was there for 10 years, and I never really felt like I was in the right skin, but the money was good, so I stuck it out. I didn't really know what else to do. And when my second daughter was born, she was born with a genetic condition. And when she was 9 months old, she got very, very, very sick. So I essentially just walked out, and my goal became to provide her with the best possible options for the best possible life. And the first thing I did was to get on the board of directors of the national charity for the disease that she has, and it was a very selfish move. I wanted to access to the best physicians, the best research, but when I got there, I realized how much I loved helping people. And that was really my best education. And through that journey, I realized my dad was a surgeon, so my go-to was Western medicine. And I realized that Western medicine was limited. And I wanted to see what other options there were to sort of complement what we were doing with Western medicine. So I started looking at a variety of different things and explored energy, different types of energy work, and cranial sacral therapy, homeopathy, lots of different things. Even learned to do many of those different healing healing modalities myself, and just kept searching and searching. And I was led to a type of healing called Theta Healing, and it's a healing process. It's a beautiful healing modality where you learn how to access a deep meditative state to do a lot of different things, different types of healing. But the part that fascinated me was how our fear-based survival programming limits us from getting well, from living our truth, from living our true potential. And I was working with a woman, and she offered a class. I was in Michigan. She was in California. I didn't have the money to go. I was a single mom just struggling, figuring out how to make ends meet. And the money showed up in my bank account. And I know where it came from, but it shouldn't have showed up that way. And it should have showed up. I should have received a 1099 with that money in it. And when I got my 1099, it was minus that amount. So the universe wanted me to go. And when I got to that class, I knew I was in the right place. I was just like, okay, this is it. This is my calling. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And from that class, I took 24 classes in Theta Healing, learned how to teach it, and then lots of other types of healing modalities, Psych K. I did Pranic Healing, Reconnective Healing, lots of meditative classes, just to bring it all together and to become someone who could really actually help people. And then it kind of expanded into really wanting to understand the body and underlying root causes of why we don't feel well. So I became a functional medicine certified health coach, and most recently a Kundalini yoga teacher. So just bringing lots of different things that I can then bring to the people that I work with.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have quite a resume, I have to say. And you know, we were talking about this before too. I think it's wonderful for us, you know, to share our stories, because how we came to become to look deeper and how we came to connect. So it isn't through things being easy and calm. It's when, you know, we ride rough waters that we're really searching, that forces us to search and open up and find these wonderful new freeing kinds of places. So now I wanted to ask you, because, you know, I was talking about how, and you've helped myself and you've helped my son, and so, yeah, so I have personal experience, you know, with you helping. But I wanted to, and I do want you to also tell people how to get in touch with you, but I do want to, you know, maybe have you address why people keep repeating those repeating those patterns and repeating that stuff. And even, like I said, like there are things that I felt like I had worked out, but then when I could see when I worked with you that there was still, you know, there was still kind of buzzing around, like annoying little gnats, you know, I thought was gone. So it was nice to really be able to, you know, feel like I was clearing that stuff out that was still there, the residue was still there. I'm going to let you talk, but we are going to be coming up on a break in a few minutes, so you might have to continue on the next segment, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Billy. That's a great question. What I have found in this journey is that we are programmed for fear. And while you could say, well, that doesn't really answer the question of why we're stuck in repeating patterns and unable to move forward, the fear does keep us stuck and does keep us from seeing what other options that we have. And what I mean by fear, I'm talking about the trauma and the experiences that we have that get stored in our subconscious and in our cellular memory and get stored there to keep us from doing those things again, to keep us safe. So we've got this incredibly powerful subconscious brain, and it gathers data from our lifetimes, potentially from our prior lifetimes, and definitely from our ancestors' lifetimes, and gathers all that data. Don't do that again. That's not safe. And the thing I thought was fascinating about this is there's two things that I thought was really amazing. Those first 7 years of our own lives, our brain is incapable of going into a brainwave state where we can have any kind of rational thought. So anything that happens to us under the age of 7 is going to really stick with us. So, for example, a child gets bit by a dog under the age of 7. That child, for the rest of his life, is most likely going to be afraid of all dogs, not just that dog, and potentially all four-legged creatures that look like a dog. And so as much as you try and be rational with that child, or even when the child becomes an adult, that programming is stuck there. Stay away from anything that looks like this. That's not safe. And then the ancestral programming I find fascinating. And in that situation, say, for example, you have an ancestor that was someone was raped or there was some traumatic experience, that programming, that fear-based trauma is going to get passed down in DNA. And we know that that's truth because scientists are starting to prove it. There's a lot of studies done on Holocaust survivors and their offspring. And there's a great study out of Emory University Medical School where they shocked some mice every time they smelled the smell of rose petals, and they became afraid of the smell of rose petals. And then when they had offspring, though their babies were afraid of the rose petal smell too. So we can be walking around with all of this trauma that don't do this, that's not safe, don't do that, that's not safe, and we don't even know that it's there, and we're wondering, like, why am I not moving forward? So a really great example could be, say, one of your ancestors was super successful at something, and there were people who were jealous, and maybe, you know, harm came to the family. Well, that kind of trauma can be passed down. And so someone's wondering, like, why can't I achieve a level of success that I want? And the programming in that person is, it's not safe to be successful. So they won't. Like, they're you know, energetically, they're not able to move into success because their body's saying, don't do that, it's not safe.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's fascinating that and there's so much science that's behind the modalities that you use that, you know, is fascinating. I'm going to take a moment to take a break because we're coming up on a break, and then when we get back, we'll discuss some more about the Vedic healing and you know, how that works and how people can get in touch with you and make appointments to have you work on them. And it's a wonderful experience, folks. I recommend it highly. So just stay with us. We'll be back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, this is Shea Parker, founder of BestAmericanPsychics.com. If you are a professional psychic or medium and are looking for a group of like-minded individuals that are truly supportive of one another, Best American Psychics is the place for you. Or if you're not a psychic but you're in need of guidance regarding love, money, career, and more, please visit our directory. Each psychic is double-tested and approved for accuracy, professionalism, ethics, and more. BestAmericanPsychics.com, a new league of professional psychics.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Okay, and we're back from break. And, Belinda, before we go further, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you so, you know, that they can have, a, you know, experience your healing.
Okay, but Billy, that sounds great. What people should do is just go to my website, which is dealingwithbelinda@gmail.com, and there's a place there where you can book a free 30-minute mini session. And what we'll do during that mini session is just explore how my work can help your specific circumstances. I'd like people to get a feel for it and us to get to know each other before they make any kind of commitment to do any kind of work with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's such a wonderful gift to be able to do that so that they're comfortable and you get it, guys feel each other out. So, you know, thank you for making that available. I'm thanking you for the people out there, for the collective, for helping
thank
us.
Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah. Okay, so... So, yeah, you know something, that's what I would like to also talk about, because I was talking about this before we took the break, is that there's a lot of science that backs this up, and so much of our work that we do, because, you know, we are working with spirit, with expansion, with sort of, at least I am working with a lot of stuff that's really unseen. So so it's nice that when you have these modalities that, you know, have a lot of science behind it, I think that there are people that need that and feel comfortable when they can, you know, actually take a look at that and say, oh, you know what, this, you know, not only does this feel right, but this, you know, there's proof here that this works and how it works. So how would this, what you're doing, how would this differ from, you know, from other healers? Because there's all kinds of, you know, different kinds of healers out there. So,
well, the first thing I want to say, Billy, is in terms of like the science and the work that I do and that you do, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think it's so different. I'm really practical, and so mm-hmm. I tend to get people who might not otherwise go to someone who they think is too woo-woo, because I do take a really practical approach, but I'm just speaking a different language for the same thing. So when for example, when you're tapping in to the things that you tap into, the things that can't be seen, the way you're doing that is by achieving a meditative state, and in a certain frequency, you change your own vibration, you can then tap into the other vibrations that people can't see. So when we can see it from that, you know, sort of practical and scientific perspective, it seems to make more sense, and people tend to, you know, recognize that, like, this is more of a truth. And so the same thing with my work. I do a lot of explaining so people understand what we're trying to do. But the first thing I do when I work with people, I sort of go through a process, and it's not the same for everyone, but I usually start with doing some type of subconscious reprogramming. And I use a variety of healing modalities, but the main one that I use is State of Healing. And in that healing modality, what I do is I'm listening. We had some kind of a conversation, and I listen to the person with an ear for, like, what kind of trauma, what kind of belief programs, what are they carrying around with them that's skewing how they view their world? And once we are able to determine what those things are, I have them do something called muscle testing. And muscle testing is really fantastic, because our trauma, our beliefs, are all stored in our muscles. And we're able to determine, like, what your programming is based on this muscle testing. And so we get some tangible feedback. Oh, you're carrying this around, or you're carrying that around. And then when we can make those changes to those programs, which is done on an energetic basis, working with spirit and quantum physics, and it's sort of a combined approach, and maybe it's possible that I'm actually saying the same thing, because science describes things one way, and people who do spiritual work describe it another way, and it's probably the same thing. But what we do is we can make shifts to those programs, and then the person can actually see the tangible results when they re-muscle test and see that those changes have been made. And so they get this really automatic, tangible feedback, and it's really quick. So many people say, oh, this is like going to therapy, except I've now got a year's worth of therapy done, you know, in a couple of sessions. And they can really have this dramatic shift in the way they view the world. And so just as an example, when I first found this work, I always used the word struggle. Life was a struggle. Everything was a struggle. And when I was in my very first class and it was discovered that I had been carrying around like an agreement or a vow to struggle, and that my fear of not struggling was that there'd be bad consequences, because usually that's our fear underneath any of our beliefs. And that was removed energetically. The world looked completely different to me. I went from like a, you know, old black and white fuzzy TV to high def, and I was able to see the world completely differently. And I have never used the word struggle again since then, and not even on a conscious basis. I'll use it when I'm explaining this, but I never look at my life or the world or anything as a struggle anymore. I'm not saying it's a piece of cake every day, but it definitely doesn't feel like a struggle every day. So those kinds of shifts can be made in a matter of minutes, and it's miraculous. It can be completely life-changing. Yeah. Another example might be like, say someone is a kid and they experience like a loss in their family, like they could have a sibling die or their parents get divorced. And most children will feel like that's their fault. And they may not be aware that they think that it was their fault. And they're carrying around all this guilt, you know, and power. I'm so powerful, I could cause people to die. And all this guilt, you know, about that as well. And when you're in this work, we can discover what those underlying beliefs are. And they can be shifted. And in that instant, the person can be released from what they've been carrying around, you know, for years and years and years. So it's very powerful. So that's the first step of what I do. And what I had found out after working with people this way for quite a while is that it would free them up and they could see the world differently. But in terms of moving forward, there was still a lot of inability to move forward. And what I discovered is that we become stuck in this loop. And what we forget about is that we live in these human bodies. And we become stuck in this loop of fear. So we have these thoughts that those thoughts created feelings in our bodies. And then those feelings in our bodies created thoughts. So you're stuck in this loop. And those feelings in our bodies created this cascade of chemicals. When you're in fear mode, you've got this adrenaline rush. And so our bodies become used to that. And so as we start to clear up that programming, you don't need to be afraid of this because what you're afraid of is no longer true. Your body still is used to that chemical concoction. And as you start to move out of fear, it's like, wait, where's my fear? Where's my fear? And people will start to pull in other things to be fearful about. And so the second step of what I do when I work with people is to start to create some kind of practice, consistent practice for them to do, to teach their body a new way of being. And we really work through like what's the best way for you. I mean, some people, a guided meditation might be amazing, and someone else likes to do a form of yoga, which might work. Someone might want a journal. I've tried a variety of different things until I found Kundalini yoga, and that's my consistent practice. You could also spend, you know, throughout your day, you could really be aware of times where you are feeling good, and you could close your eyes and really allow that in. Because what you're doing in any of those consistent practices is that you're creating this new neural pathway for new reality. And you have to do it long enough for that to really stick. So that's the second piece of what the work that I do. And then the third piece is really looking at the person's lifestyle choices. Like, what are you putting into your body? You know, what's your environment like? And really, like, take a look at that. Because as much as someone might want to change, they may be, like, eating, you know, things that are really unhealthy for them. and it's working against them. So we really take a look at that piece of things as well. And then the last part of my work and why I feel like this is very different from many of the healers out there is I think it's important that you have someone to walk with, someone who sees your potential, someone who's willing to illuminate your path, see your truth, and as things come up, help you work through them, you know, using these healing modalities, or just be a support person. But that coaching piece is really critical as far as I'm concerned. So a long answer to your question, Billy, is that I'm really honest with people. You know, like, you want real change, it takes work. We can work together and we can get you there.
Right now, while we take
and it can take
a little bit
of
a break.
A few sessions, it could take a while. But in any of those cases, we're going to walk together. You're not going to walk this path alone.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And you're covering so much of the basis here. And like you said, it is really a fast track. So if you look at it as, you know, as what we go through to heal and Western, you know, the conventional medicine, I hate to say wisdom because sometimes that's an oxymoron, but, you know, that convention will, because we're used to it, will not really get to the heart of what the problem is. And I think what you do is you get to the core of it. And if you get to the core of it, then you can find a way to release it. And you give everybody all of that. You give them the tools. You give, you know, you find the core of it, and you don't leave them hanging. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a great example of someone I worked with.
Can you hold that, because we are coming
absolutely.
Up on a break, and then when
Perfect.
We get back, you can tell us that story.
Okay, sounds
okay?
great.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, and we'll be back after the break.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatePR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Okay, and we're back. Yeah, Belinda, so go ahead, finish, you know, the thought that...
So I wanted to give you a good example of exactly what you're saying, Billy. So I had this this client come to me, and she's given me permission to talk about it. And she had been dealing with depression for 30 years. And she'd been on medication, and she was still depressed. And so, she took a leap of faith and came to see me. Her sister said, oh, you should try this. And she did. I'm glad she was open. And then that first time that we were speaking, I asked her, well, where in your body do you feel this depression? And she told me, it's in my heart, and it's really, really painful. And what I said to her is, I'm not a diagnostician, but let me tell you that sounds like grief to me. And it turned out that her brother had died when she was 4 and he was 8. And she was carrying the grief around of her parents and her siblings for 30 years.
Wow.
More, actually. And... through our work together, we were able for her to understand that you know, she didn't have to carry their grief, and we could free her of, you know, feeling responsible for her brother's death and feeling responsible for carrying the grief of her family. And that grief then, you know, kind of turned into more of depression, and we continued to peel back layers of where that came from and getting to the root causes and making those energetic shifts and seeing where the fear-based programming was. And like, so for her example, like if she didn't carry the grief of her parents, that the, you know, that there would be bad consequences to them. That would be like an example of a fear-based program. But now it's probably about 8 months later, and there's no grief, like overwhelming grief. And, you know, you don't get rid of grief forever. It's going to come and go, and it's not a bad thing to experience it, but what she was experiencing was heavy and difficult and challenging. And she's not experiencing any depression at all. And her relationships are all much better and healthier, and she's now stepping into her real calling. So in just a very short period of time, in comparison to all the years of, you know, medication and therapy that she'd been doing, she was really able to get to a really impressive place. So that's just a, you know, an example of, you know, how when you can get to the root and use some tools that are really effective, you can really make some really incredible shifts.
Right, right. Well, that's a beautiful story, and you know, a wonderful example of, like you said, when you get to the root of it and you can really get rid of it, the how it frees you up. And it isn't like you said, it isn't like all of a sudden people want life to give them what they want, and but if you can transform how you perceive what you're given and get rid of that fear-based programming, then that's so much more powerful. Then you can't be shaken. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
So I 100% agree with you that, you know, sometimes stuff's going to happen in our lives, and sometimes it has meaning and sometimes it doesn't. The meaning will come in how we deal with it.
Exactly.
And if we can't see the truth about what happened, then we're not able to choose how we want to respond in that particular situation. And I do a lot of coaching in that regard. The first thing I'll tell someone is, you know, let's see what you're feeling. And they name it, and, you know, we give ourselves permission to feel whatever the heck it is we're feeling, because we're humans, like we're going to feel stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I teach them to go into a, you know, to a place, a more loving state, and to look at the situation from that state and make a decision in terms of how they want to respond, as opposed to how they would typically react in that situation. Because that's where the gifts are. The gifts are in how do we respond to the things that happen to us? How do we choose to live our lives? And you can't choose if you're based totally in fear and your perception is skewed that way. So I love what you said. And I mean, the approach that I use actually comes from an organization called HeartMath. Again, really science-based, talking about how our heart sends signals to our brain. I mean, we all know our brain sends signals to our heart, but our heart sends maybe even more signals to our brain. And so if you can get into that space, instead of fear, into that loving space, you can then really start to perceive truth in what's going on in your world.
Right. That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and interestingly enough, in Buddhism, the mind is in the heart center. It's actually not in the brain. So,
correct.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I actually agree with that. I mean, in most of the time, it's interesting because our bodies tend to control our minds,
mm-hmm.
You know, because we're reacting to what we're feeling as opposed to being able to think.
Right.
And I agree with you that if you're responding from your head, you're responding from a fearful place. if you're responding from your heart, you're responding from a very loving place, and that's truly where the true mind is. The problem is that we have these brains, in our head, and we have to retrain them. And I saw this incredible video a while ago where this guy was trying to learn how to ride a bicycle. I call it the backwards bike. When you turn the wheel to the right, the handlebars to the right, the wheel went to the left. And so the opposite of how you would normally ride a bike. And when he tried to ride it, he couldn't because, he was programmed to ride it that one way. And then every time he tried to ride it, fear would kick in because the bike would go the wrong way and you'd put your foot down. So it was impossible. So the guy took 5 minutes a day and just on his driveway tried to see if he could ride that backwards bike. And 8 months in, one day he couldn't ride it and the next day he could. So with the consistent practice, he created a new neural pathway. We do have, brains that control us. And I agree with you that the real mind is in our heart, but that fear-based brain becomes, pretty controlling. And so in 8 months, he created this new neural pathway that he could then ride this backwards bike. He got no feedback along the way that he was creating a new pathway with that practice. But with that practice, he did. And it was fascinating to me because he then asked his son to ride the backwards bike, and his son, who was six, could ride it in 2 weeks, not 8 months. And because his neural pathways for that old way were, much more tenuous than the dad. And so the dad then gets really proficient at riding the backwards bike, and he goes to ride the frontwards bike, a regular bike, and he can't. So he takes about 20 minutes, and then he can ride that one. So when I watched this video, I thought, well, that's really fascinating because you can create a new pathway, but that new pathway is really, it's not really strong. And you can revert back to your old way unless you keep up the practice for a really long time. So when I talk about creating a practice for a new reality, that's what I'm talking about. And people will go, oh, I meditated for 3 days and it's like, right, it probably didn't. Because you need to do it long enough to create these new pathways in your brain to create a new reality.
Yeah. Well, isn't it true? I mean, because we are living in this world and we're surrounded by fear energy to begin with, and all of this stuff that we are, we are programming ourselves without realizing it. So when we do have a new, like you giving us a new practice to work on for a while, it is work because you have to kind of unlearn years of mindless stuff that we're walking through.
And you bring up a big point too, which is there's this whole group consciousness of fear, that we're feeling every day, and we have to work against that. A lot of times people who start to become more aware, they're like, "Wow, I feel really, irritated, and I'm not feeling well." And then we start looking at, is it you, or is it what you're picking up from the group? And the group has a lot to do with how we're feeling. Vice versa. How we're feeling can really impact the group. If we start making these shifts, we can really shift what's happening on the planet.
We can shift.
If enough of us do it. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that this is such important work for that reason. Because if we can shift ourselves and we can get other people to see that and shift too. You're right, we can shift the whole energy of the planet. And
We can.
Yeah, and this planet could use some major energy shifting.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago my daughter said to me, "Mom, when I get angry, am I adding to ISIS?" And I looked at her, I go, "Exactly."
Oh, That's funny. That's great. Okay, so we're coming up on another break, so we're going to just take a minute to break, and we'll be right back, and we'll continue some more interesting conversation with Belinda Phillips. And stay tuned.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Paul George of the Indiana Pacers. When I was six, my days were spent playing basketball. When I was six, my dream was to make it to the NBA. When I was six, my mom had a stroke. So I want you to learn to spot a stroke fast. F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. I'm Paul George. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Okay, so we're back, and we're talking about healing, and now we went from individual healing to collective healing and the importance of consistent practice, which is, you know, we live kind of in a fast food place. We want instant gratification, like, all the time. And the programming happens without us thinking about it. We just are in it, and so that's how it happens. So it does take work. But before we go on, let's just tell us how to get in touch with you, and one more time, so that, you know, people can book, you know, appointments with you or get to know you for that 30-minute consultation and start getting rid of some of the baggage and some of the stuff that you're not even aware that you carry around. And one of the things before you do that, too, I just want to say that I loved the muscle testing that we did, because it was so interesting to see how I would hold on to something, and it would not necessarily go right away. You know what I mean? And then you had to work more, and then finally it would surprise me. Okay, now it's gone. So it's very surprising, I think. At least I found that to be the case, you know, with the muscle testing that you did.
I love that, Billy. That's awesome. So let me just first say, to reach me, just go to my website, healingwithbelinda, B-E-L-I-N-D-A. @gmail.com, and just book a free 30-minute mini session with me, and we can get to know each other. So let's talk about that muscle testing, Billy. I love that you said that. It's the thing that just intrigued me when I first found this healing modality, and I tend to forget how amazing it is. And when I start to work with someone new and they actually, you know, feel their bodies moving, they're shocked. And I'm just like, oh yeah, doesn't everybody do this? But it is really fascinating, because a lot of times, you know, I'll ask someone to muscle test something and they're like, oh, I don't have that belief. And I go, right, you know, consciously, you don't, I get that. But from everything that we're discovering here, and what I'm getting intuitively, there's a underlying belief there that lets you see if it's there. So that's the first part about, like, getting that tangible, like, oh, I actually, you know, have that kind of programming. But then what you were talking about is really awesome, because when we go in and we shift that programming, unless we get to the like bottom or underlying belief, it doesn't shift. And so sometimes we have to dig a little bit deeper in order to make sure that that shift occurs. So we'll see, oh, it hasn't shifted. Okay, well, there's something else. We need to see what else is under there. And until we get to that underlying belief, then that change will be made. And so the kind of cool thing about that is that people really begin to start to trust the muscle testing. And they can see, like, wow, this is really, you know, this really makes sense. And what I love is when, you know, I may work with someone and something will come up and I'm like, I think we worked on this. Will you muscle test this? And it's still shifted. Because once you get to those underlying beliefs and make those shifts, they're permanent. So it's really fascinating. And I think like I said, it's tangible. And we get to those underlying beliefs together. It's not like you come in, you know, we get on the call and I say, you have this and you have that. You know, we look at patterns in your life. We look at your ancestors. We look at a lot of different things to see what may be there that's keeping you from moving forward. And it doesn't have to be some big heavy thing like 30 years of depression. I mean, I have lots of clients who come to me for a variety of different things. They may, you know, not be able to find their soulmate, or they may have some resentment from a betrayal, or they may want to be able to use and trust their intuition. They may want to open up their creativity. There's lots of different things. Maybe releasing money and career blocks. I worked with someone today, and she came to me because she was looking for her soulmate. And we worked through, you know, many layers of, you would think it would just be a few easy layers, but we worked through many layers of reasons why she wasn't able to attract her soulmate into her life. And we were talking today, she's getting married in a month, this really amazing man. That's really exciting. So we get, you know, it can be used for really heavy things, and it can be used for, you know, just opening up so you can really live the expansive life that you want.
Yeah, and you know, and fear is fear is fear. It's not like a degree, because sometimes we dismiss the fact that, you know, oh well, this isn't a traumatic big thing, but it is holding you back, and that's, you know, that it's a block. A block is a block is a block. So, you know, it's understandable that people would put, you know, heavier weight on certain things, and, you know, that, oh, this is really difficult to get over, and this isn't, but it's still something that's holding us back and creating, you know, more negativity for themselves and for, like we said, for the planet too. So I think it's really just such wonderful, good, you know, wonderful work that you do. And and also I just want to add to this or ask you about this too, is that, you know, this gets right, like you said, this gets to the root of it. I mean, you can sit there and do talk therapy, and I'm not dissing any kind of therapy at all. I just want to say that up front, but you can do talk therapy and you can talk yourself out of something, because this was my experience, but it isn't leaving you. You still have that somewhere in your body, like you said, and this, you know, this modality really gets to that space, right? Is that, do I have
yeah,
that
I mean,
right? I mean, I don't want to put...
No, I agree. I agree with you. I mean, I actually about a year and a half ago decided I needed someone to talk to, and hired a therapist, and a lot of times we'll have a conversation and we'll come up with, you know, some sort of aha moment. And then it's always at the end of a session, you know that. And I come back the following week, and she's like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm good. I just cleared it all with my healing work. And she kind of looks at me like I'm crazy. So, I mean, there is a lot of value in someone being able to, like, see you, you know, from the outside. I think that's great. And I think therapists are great, too. But I think that this approach is really awesome because we are so stuck as humans because we are so programmed for fear. And even if something doesn't feel like a fearful or traumatic event, I was working with this one guy, and he's like, we were trying to get underneath, like, what his underlying fear was, and it was humiliation. And I asked him, well, what was the worst thing about humiliation? And he started yelling at me, it's the worst thing in the world. Isn't that the worst thing for everyone? And I said, well, yeah, for some, and for others, like death or, you know, something else might be the worst thing in the world. But these things keep us from moving forward because, like, for this man, you know, that fear of humiliation kept him from really living to his true potential. And so when we can get underneath those kinds of things and make those shifts and recognize that whatever that, you know, fear of humiliation, wherever that came from, because his response is so much bigger than the event, and we can change that programming, he can then move forward and really, like, reach his, you know, see the truth and reach his true potential. So, yeah, it's really super powerful.
Yeah. So let me ask you, we're winding down for, you know, at the end of the hour, so we're going to, but I wanted to ask you, you mentioned coaching, too. I don't think, I would like to know how the coaching it differs that from the healing. Is that separate, or is that something that you...
They're kind of intertwined, you know. By the time people get to me, usually, you know, they've tried a lot of different things, and they have, you know, they haven't gotten the kind of results that they want. Mm-hmm. And I really never understood coaching at all until I took this workshop. I mean, it was a year-long workshop. It was like taking graduate level courses in functional medicine coaching. And it was really fascinating to me because if people could change on their own, they would. I mean, sure. All of us, right? And we do need someone, you know, who sees our truth and helps us along the way. So there's, you know, there's elements of accountability, but there's also elements of, you know, being supported and being loved, and, you know, when you fall down, someone's there to pick you up, and someone who's at the finish line going, come on, you can do it. So it's all sort of intertwined. Initially, I don't start with the coaching work. I start with, like, let's understand where you're stuck and why you're stuck. But as people start to move forward and take action and, you know, begin to do some practices and take real, you know, tangible action towards their goals, I think it's really important to support them. I mean, we all know if you go to the gym and you've got a trainer, you're going to do better than if you just say you're going to go to the gym, don't show up, or do the whatever you do at the gym, you know, part way. So it's right. It's the same kind of concept. And
yeah.
I feel like it's, like, critical for people's success. And I know it's critical for mine. I've had to reach, you know, not had to, wanted to reach out. And that one last thing about that, Billy, is, like, I think it's super important for people to start to recognize that they need to find their tribe, you know, people who are on the same path as them, and start hanging out with those people. Because a lot of times people I work with go, I feel so alone, and I don't feel like I fit in. And we figure out ways for them to, like, you know, connect with other like-minded people who are on the same path. And that can be really helpful in this process, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're at the end of the show, so I want to thank you so much, Belinda, for being in my life and reaching, you know, more people through this radio show. I encourage everyone listening to, you know, to have that 30-minute consultation with you. You're generous, spirit and dedication to healing and helping is, you know, you can feel it is unparalleled, or is rare, let's put it that way. And that comes very much across, especially with working with you. You can feel the caring and the love that comes from you. So, you know, thank you so much. And we'll see you next month. So join us again. And thanks for joining us, Belinda.
It's been an honor. Thank you. And you are truly one of the most gifted people I know. So thank you. It's an honor for you to have me on your show. And I love you. Like,
love you too, babe.
Forever.
Me
okay.
Too.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
Joining us for Shea Parker's Best of the Best. Be sure to tune in next week for more lively discussion topics. Have a great week, and don't forget to check out bestamericanpsychics.com. In case you need some professional, ethical, and accurate psychic advice from the nation's best psychics. Until next week, take care of yourselves and one another.